Well, it's good to see everyone this morning, and thank you so much for all of you who participated yesterday in the outreach, and it was really exciting for Karen and I. We were able to talk to one young man who's interested in knowing more about the gospel and just pray for him. I've already given his name and information to someone, so it was really exciting to see the number of visitors that came out last night. And you know what? As I thought about this outreach, I thought about my message for this morning, and it kind of motivated me to share something from Ecclesiastes chapter 11. But before I start on that right there, I'd like to just remind you of something about the balls that was in the gym. And I can remember some of you know Andy and Loretta Burgess. They've been here and helped with Bible school from time to time. And I can remember one night in Reedsville, Loretta was doing Fanny Crosby, and she came out and she had her walking cane like this here, and she came out and put it in her left hand and was doing this like this right here and feeling around where to go and where to go. And then all of a sudden she came up to me and she said, "Oh, a basketball." So it's okay to bounce those basketballs, but don't bounce these basketballs. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And I'm going to share one particular verse that really motivates me. And I can remember back in the early 70s, some of you might know August Van Ryan. He was down in the Bahamas. He was a missionary there. And I remember him speaking at Shannon Hills at a conference there. And he spoke on Ecclesiastes chapter 11, but the only verse I remember anything about was the first verse. And he said this, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." And, you know, I can't remember anything else he said from that message, but I just remember being challenged about casting your bread upon the waters. And I think that's what we were doing yesterday. We were casting bread upon the waters, and we'll see the results in many days. In some cases, it may not be till we get to heaven that we see the full results of what happened. But anytime we're casting bread upon the water, and we know the best bread is what? God's Word. And so when we're using the Word of God and we're going out and sharing it in any way, any shape or form or fashion, you're really casting your bread upon the water. If you've got a newer translation, some of the newer translations translate this right here as a ship going out, taking wheat on it. And it's going to some particular port, and they're going to sell that wheat. And in many days, that ship will return, and you'll get the reward for raising that wheat. That could be a good translation of that. But you know, one of the ones that I like the best is in the Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary. He uses an illustration about casting bread upon the water, and he would say it was a picture of what happened on the Nile River in Egypt. And what would happen in the summertime when the snow would start melting up in the mountains, the water would increase on the side of the Nile River, and then it would overflow, and you could water everything around it. And what he pointed out in his commentary was it was a picture of people in little boats sailing up and down the Nile River, and as that water is going over the banks, they are throwing wheat into the air. And of course, that water, it's going to float for a while, but then it's going to float and go wherever the water goes. And then when it gets at the right place and the water starts subsiding, or the wheat gets completely full of water, it'll settle. And then over a period of time, as the water settles, the wheat seed will be buried in the sand or in the dirt, and what will happen in many days? Well, you'll see the seed will, it'll die first of all, and then it will come up, and it'll come up, and all of a sudden you've got a sprig, and all of a sudden you've got several heads of wheat. You just multiplied one seed. But here's what I think is so interesting about casting bread. You know, there's a principle about casting seed like that. And when you're casting seed over a river like that, you have no idea where that seed is going to end up. You might know what part of the river you threw it out at, but where the water goes is going to determine where the seed goes. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? You know, when you plant, and that's another principle we see in Scripture about planting. We see that in 1 Corinthians, where one planted, one watered, but who gave the increase? It's God. He's the one that knows exactly what He wants to do with that seed that's either planted or sown. Now, the difference is planting and sowing is you know where one, you know where you planted it, but you don't know where it's going when you sow it. And isn't that a beautiful illustration of sowing the good news of the glorious gospel? And that's what we need to be doing, right? Sowing the seed of the gospel. And it's interesting that in many days, you'll see the return. And sometimes you may not even see the return. I can remember in 2007, I believe it was, we were in Florida with the Good News team down there, and they asked the team to share at a mission conference. They'd had missionaries from other parts of the world every year, but this year they wanted to do missions in the United States. So we were speaking, and I shared, and I noticed there was a young guy in the back of the auditorium, and I remembered him. He used to come to Greensboro every year to visit his parents. So after the meeting, I went up to this guy, and I asked him, I didn't remember his name, because I hadn't seen him in probably 20 years, but I went up and introduced myself and asked him if he remembered Karen and I when we were at Shannon Hills. And he says, "No, I'm sorry, I don't know you at all." And I said, "Well, do you remember a guy by the name of Glenn Stewart?" All of a sudden, his face lit up. "Glenn Stewart?" He said, "I was in jail in Greensboro, and that man came to jail and preached the gospel to us standing between those cells, and I got saved." Okay? Now, that was in the 50s that that occurred. And here we are 60 years later almost. And here we are in Florida, 600 miles away from home, and we see somebody that was saved by Karen's daddy sharing the gospel almost 60 years ago. That's many days, isn't it? That's many days to see the principle work its way out. Well, you know, it's interesting. This Sunday that we were down there, I spoke at another assembly there close to Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood. And at this church, I spoke in some way or another that illustration because Karen was so excited, and I was too, to hear about a man being saved almost 60 years ago by the ministry of her dad. And so I shared that illustration Sunday morning. A lady came up to me after the meeting, and she said, "I don't know why I am here. I have no idea why I'm here, but it must be to tell you what I'm going to tell you." She said, I came here one time a year or two ago, and today I don't know why. I just felt like I need to come this morning." But she says, "My husband was in jail in Greensboro in the 50s, and this same man preached the gospel, and my husband got saved, and he died last year." And she said, "I've still got the little red Bible," like we had some passed out, the Gideon Bibles, and that was Mr. Stewart's treasure to give people, was a little Bible, okay? And she said, "I still got that Bible." So I knew she was telling me the truth. Have you seen that in life? You're sowing seed here, and the Lord dumps the blessing over here. And we'll see that principle pointed out here. But the point is, if you sow in many days, you'll see the result. Now, I'm afraid in my life, and maybe in yours too, you may have the idea that, well, we went out and we did it one time and it didn't work because we didn't see any results. Okay, so what do you do? I can remember there was an expression back when I was a kid, and my mom told me this many times, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And each time you try again, you learn a new principle, don't you? And you learn something else that you need to learn in life. You know, I can remember many stories that I could tell you about casting bread upon the water, and in many days it coming back. We were in Sioux Falls, and we had a little magnet that we would put in each of the bags that we would give people. And this little bag said, need prayer, we care. Phone number. Okay? There was a guy that got a bag there, and he took that bag, and of course he threw everything away, but he kept the magnet because he needed something to hold things on the refrigerator. Okay, he lived there for a year and then moved to Hawaii and stayed over there for a year or so and took the magnet with him because it was, you know, that did a trick for him on the refrigerator. So he came back to Sioux Falls, lived there for a few months, and then a lady he knew moved into the apartment and he left the refrigerator magnet there for her. And after several months, she was going through some terrible circumstances. And she said, I need somebody to pray for me. So she called that phone number. And guess what happened? She ended up getting saved. Need prayer, we care. Now, is that how it works? I remember the next year we had a young girl that was going, I won't tell you what she was going to do that morning, but she was at a service station getting gas. Someone had taken one of the bags and put it in a trash can. She saw the John 3:16 text and took it out of the trash can there at the gas pumps and took it home and started reading it. She didn't go where she was planning to go that morning. That night, she decided to come to the meeting. And she came to the meeting and sat there along with her mother, and she listened to the message. And then afterwards, Larry went up to her and started talking to her and her mother. And she got saved. And here's what she said. You're not going to believe this. She said, I found this verse, John 3:16, in a trash can this morning. I was on my way to get an abortion. And after reading John 3:16, I decided not to get that abortion. And she came to the meeting that night, and there was a baby's life was saved and a young girl's soul was saved. Cast your bread upon the waters, and many days you'll see blessing as a result of it. It's amazing what happens, but look at what he says here in that verse. He not only says, cast your bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. It says, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now, what's the principle there that he's talking about? Give a portion to seven or to eight. In other words, I think he's talking about diversifying, isn't he? Diversify. What happens if you put all your eggs in one basket? And what happens if something happens to the basket? And you trip while you're carrying it, you lose all the eggs, right? Diversify. You know, I think there's a good principle there. And that is, if you'll diversify, if you'll do that, you know, if this doesn't work, what do? I don't know if you've got any people here that's invest in the stock market. Probably you do. But if you have one particular fund that's not working, what do? You don't take it all out and put it in a jar and take it in the backyard and bury it, do you? No, you move it around to another stock and you keep diversifying until you see the results that you're expecting, right? And I think that's the case with sowing the seed. If you sow a seed in one field and it's red mud like we have in Rockingham County, if it's red mud, you're not going to get much of a crop. But if you go down to a creek level where there's a lot of topsoil, you can sow down there and you get a good crop. Right? So the principle is, if you don't see the results here after you do it, after you try and try and try again, then what do? You do something different. You know, many times I think, I'm guilty of this. You know, I do the same thing and I want to do it for 50 years. And for the first 20 years, I see results. And for the next 30 years, I don't see any results. I should have diversified a lot sooner, shouldn't I? I should have tried something new. You know, maybe we need to try a kids club. Maybe we need to a 3-on-3 basketball to reach kids. Maybe we need some kind of a Bible study for you name the topics and you can come up with them, right? And I guarantee you can find people in this neighborhood and in this area that's going through struggles that they need somebody to listen to them and to help them. It's amazing how this all works out. Now, diversify. And I've got lots of illustrations here that I could give you, but I don't have time. We're playing beat the clock this morning. But look at the next one. In verse 3, look at what it says. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. That's amazing, isn't it? Have you had any clouds going overhead? Okay. Now, I can remember when I was a kid that I grew up on a farm, and we loved for the clouds to come. Because what happened when the clouds would come? It would cool things off, right? And if you were out in the field working, and if you were plowing with a mule or doing whatever, if it rained, guess what? You got to quit for the rest of the day. But I think here's an illustration. Who is it that gets wet? Who is it gets the benefits and the blessing of that rain falling on? It's the ones that's in the field. Right? I being in the way, the Lord led me. And I think that's the case, right? When we go out and we are, I've seen it repeatedly, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. This is the way I'm going to do it. And I get out there in the field and all of a sudden the Lord drops a blessing down on me that I can't take any credit for. Isn't that how it works? You've seen it, I know. You know, you're praying for this one and all of a sudden the Lord drops it down on another. I can remember I was challenged probably in the mid-90s to come up with a top 10 list. Start praying for people that I knew. And Bob Brown, some of you might know Bob, but he's a great evangelist. And he challenged me that, and I came up with my top 10 list, and I'll just share with you one of them. One of the guys is a pair of brothers that I put on the list that we went to school together. And we hang out together as teenagers. And so I started praying for Carl and Freddie. And so it was only a month or two after I started praying for these two guys that their dad ended up in the hospital. And so I went by to see him one day and started talking to him. And I asked Fred, I said, Fred, I'm not the same boy you knew, you know, 20 years ago. I have completely changed. Would you like to know what changed me? And he said, yes, I would like to know. So here's Fred laying on his deathbed. And I share the gospel with him. And he started crying. He just wept like a baby. And I remember asking Mr. Cooper, is everything all right? And he said, Jerry, I was in church 30 years ago, and the preacher told me exactly what you just got through telling me. And I hadn't been back to church since then. And I asked him, I said, well, Mr. Cooper, when do you think you should get saved? And he said, right now. He got saved. I was targeting his two boys. But I got to lead their dad to the Lord. And one of the boys, when I talked to him, he said he was already saved. And the other one, he denied that he didn't want to talk about it or anything. But then about 3 years ago, I run into Carl, and he's wearing a breathing machine, and he's got all this stuff on him. He's got COPD. And we talked, and he said he was dying with cancer. We went out, had breakfast one morning, and talked for an hour or two in the front seat of the car. And guess what? He got saved. It only took 15 years. Okay? And so the point being, I saw both of those principles come alive. When you're out in the field, when you're out doing things like that, the Lord will just dump the blessing on you and you can't take credit for any of it. And that's what we really want, isn't it? Who gets the glory if we can't take credit for it? He does, right? And if we take glory for it and we lift ourselves up, look at what I'm doing, what does the Lord do? He stops the showers, doesn't he? Lot to be thankful for. You know, here's another good principle that I think we can look at. Some things are permanent. Listen to what it says here in this verse, verse 3. If the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Wow. Is that true? Now, I know you guys had some trees to fall here last year, and we had some trees to fall in our yard in the last hurricane that came through. But you know what? Once that tree falls, it's there, isn't it? Whatever direction it falls in, it's there permanently. You know, I can remember one time when I was a young fella, we had a wood heat in our house and so forth. And two brothers went out and we were going to cut some firewood for the winter. And my brother Tom, he was the expert in sawing trees and doing all of this. And Tom said, well, I know exactly how to saw this tree. It's leaning that way, so we need to do it this way, and it'll fall over there. Well, the truck was parked over here. Okay? And all it took was one little guff of wind that caused that tree to land on the top of that truck. Now, when we drove that truck back home, Daddy was not happy. But before we left, we sawed up that tree and loaded all the firewood on the back of the truck. We had some wood, at least, to put in the stove. You know, we all have trees to fall in our life, don't we? I remember one time, you remember George Bush lost the election to Bill Clinton back in the 90s, and George couldn't get over it. And Barbara told him one time, she said, George, it's over. Get over it. What's the point being made? Don't we have some trees to fall in our life? And, there's a beautiful illustration of David. You know, he couldn't forgive his son Absalom. And, he heard the story about what can you do when the water's already gone under the bridge? There's nothing you can do, is it? What do you do? What do you do when the tree has fallen? And so, in other words, here's the point I think that I'd like to make from this particular verse. What do we need to do when something happens in our life that causes us to want to quit and to give up? We cast our burdens upon the Lord and we leave them there. And it's amazing when we take the hurts and the trees that's fallen in our life and we ask God, would you teach me the lesson that I need to learn from this event. What do you want me to learn? What can I learn from this that I can share with other people? You know, I think today, I've been saved 50 years, and I think today the ministry that the Lord's given me was a result of the hurts I had in my family as a child. Isn't it amazing? And you know what? When you've been hurt in a particular situation, when you see someone else that's going through the same battle, you're able to see it in their eyes. And all you have to do is walk up and say, you know, how's things going? Is there anything I can pray with you about? Take one of those John 3:16 coins, give it to them. Let me give you something to let you know that God loves you. And when you start talking to people like that and showing that you really care about them, what's going to be the result? They're going to get over that tree that's fall and fell in their life. And that's what God wants us to do, right? And I think many times that's why He allows us to have trees falling in our lives. You know, Paul wrote in the Philippians, he says, forgetting those things which are past. Did he have a bad past? How'd you like to go to sleep at night knowing that you killed a bunch of Christians? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? He said, I'm going to forget what happened in the past, and I'm going to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants us to do, isn't it? Don't give up or quit because of something that happens, but move forward, not away. Here's another one. Listen to what it says here. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. In other words, if you're looking for the perfect circumstances, you won't do anything because you'll never have the perfect circumstances, right? And I've discovered in life that you can always find an excuse to do what you don't want to do. And we know that we are all made ambassadors, right? Everybody born again is an ambassador for Christ. And what does an ambassador do? Well, if we look there in Corinthians, they are to have a ministry of reconciliation. Right? Reconciliation. But look at this verse here. If you observe in the wind, you won't sow. In other words, if you look out the window and you say, well, the wind's blowing today. It's too windy to go out and work. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to stay at home and sit on the couch and play with my remote control. Right? And we end up doing nothing. And what's the results? We don't have any results, do we? Because we didn't do anything. But if we're waiting for the perfect circumstance, we'll never do anything. You know, I can remember one time when our son Wayne was about 10 years old. We took him and some of the friends of his and Lawrence to a water park in Greensboro. And when we went into the water park, we sat down there and Karen and I were sitting in the shade and the guy came by and he literally had tattoos on every part of his body. He told me that. I mean, even his ears, he had tattoos on his head, his neck, arms, legs, wearing a swimsuit. And I said, here's wisdom crying out in the street. So I called Wayne. I said, now you see this guy right here? He's probably not interested at all in the things of God. Okay? Because if he was, he wouldn't have done that. And I thought, well, I'm being a good dad here. I'm really teaching him a good lesson. Pat myself on the back. Karen patted me on the back. We go to church the next day. And then we were having an outreach every Monday night. It may have been Tuesday night. I can't remember which right now. But we would take visitors who came on Sunday and would go visit them, and we would do neighborhoods. So there was a couple there, a James and a Francis. So Karen and I and another lady, we go visit James and Francis. So we go knock on the door. This older fella comes to the door, and I didn't see him the day before when he was a visitor at church because I taught a college career class. And so I was busy during that 11 o'clock time. But anyway, we talked to this man for probably 15 minutes, and I was wanting to share the gospel. And I asked him, I said, well, is Francis here? And he said, oh, yeah. Hey, Francis, get out here right now. Guess who walks out? It was the tattoo guy. And here I told my son, this guy's not interested in the things of God. And the next day he's at our church. Now explain that one to me. I learned a good lesson, and I got to share the gospel that night with Francis. Now we'll know when we get to heaven if it was real what he admitted. We'll know in the coming day. But you there are no perfect circumstances. How many times have you had somebody come and knock on your door? Hello, I need to be saved. Could you tell me how to be saved? You ever had that happen? I had it happen up in one location. We were doing gospel meetings, and this man came in probably an hour before the meeting, and he said, I've got to talk to somebody, and I need to do it right now. If I continue the same lifestyle I'm in right now, I'll end up dead. We go back in the back room, talk for a long time, and guess what? He gets saved. It's amazing, isn't it? I didn't have to wait for him. He came to me. And isn't it great that when you have someone call you and say, hello, would you mind if I bring somebody over for you to talk to them? They want to know more about how to be saved. That's exciting to have that happen. That's exciting. But why would they call you and not somebody else? Well, the reason they'll call you is because they know you have done it before. And they know that you're kind, you're patient, fruit of the Spirit. Right? They know that you're willing to listen to this person and talk to them and then share the gospel with them. It's amazing, isn't it? It is amazing. You know, I can remember the most interesting situation was a young girl at work. I remember one day I had the day off, and I was supposed to do yard work, and it was raining the next day, so I ended up going to work anyway. And I worked going around to different computer rooms in the Triad area, and I went to this one that was one of my customers. And I go in, and I would just go in many times like this just to make sure everything was okay and no problems and everybody's happy. And when we do a survey, they're going to give us a big smiley face. So anyway, I go in, and I talk to the manager of the computer room at Western Electric, and I noticed that the day shift supervisor and the third shift supervisor in the back, they're talking to one another. So here, when I finish this conversation here, I go back and ask them. I said, now, I noticed you guys were pointing at me up here. Is everything okay? Is there anything I need to work on while I'm here? And this guy said, well, this girl here was asking me all kinds of questions about the tribulation. And I told her you could answer them. Okay, let's talk. She's off work. I don't have anything to do. I'm just goofing off, waiting for something to happen. And so we went over and stood by some of the equipment and started talking. I shared the gospel with her. I told her before, I said, if you would like, Karen and I, my wife and I, will come to your house and we'll share and let you know for certain how you can be ready to go to heaven when you die and you won't go through the tribulation. She kept talking. And so I said, I'm going to share the gospel with her. So I shared the gospel with her. She told me about her struggles in life, and I explained to her how forgiveness works, And she said, I can do that. And guess what? When I asked her if she wanted to confess Christ as her Lord and Savior, she took my hand and knelt down in the computer room and got saved. That's a miracle, isn't it? You know, that was an imperfect circumstance to be in, but we saw the Lord work in this situation. Look at one more thing. I'm out of time. Verse 5, look at what it says. As thou knowest not what is the way of the wind, nor how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Wow. How many of you know everything? In the Bible study I was in earlier, there was the word all 10 times in this portion of Scripture we're looking at in 1 Corinthians 15. But it ends up, Christ, God is who? All in all. If you take what I know about everything, you could put it on a pin dot. God knows it all, right? How many of you can explain how a little baby grows, matures, and then is born at 9 months? Now, you can look at some videos, but can you explain to me exactly how all that works? You can't, can you? How many of you know how God's working in people's lives? Do you know what He's doing in your heart? Do you know what lessons He's trying to teach you? Do you know what He's going to take you through to teach you the lessons that you need to learn in life? You don't know, do you? But you know what I've discovered? That when you start sowing seed, when you get out in the field and it starts raining on you, and all of a sudden you'll find these things that'll happen, and you can't explain why. I know there was a family here last night, 4 in the family. And I think Bill used a little cards to get in conversations with the boys. And who would ever think that showing these young guys these little cards would lead to them to come and to see the Jesus film? You can't explain these things, can you? You know, I can't explain how God brought Karen into my life in 1969, and she shared the gospel with me the first night I met her. I can't explain that. But I can explain that I was ready to be saved. I knew I was going to hell, and she shared with the gospel with me. And within a month, I got saved. The first time I heard it, the Romans wrote, I said, that's too easy. It's too simple. But sometimes you have to sow the seed. Someone else sows the seed, and you become a link in the chain, right? And you'll see the Lord bless it. Here's a poem that a guy from church gave me about 15 years ago. Listen to what it says. Sow, sow, sow. You might not see it grow. Scattered seeds of precious truth everywhere you go. Sow, 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 and God will fruit bestow, and it will keep your heart aglow. Sow, sow, sow. That's it, isn't it? Let's thank the Lord for the privilege that we have to be a part of the family of God and to represent Him in the world as ambassadors, where we can take the good news out to different people. Father, we just thank You this morning for Your precious word. Lord, we just pray now that You would help us today. Help us to see these principles that You've put in Your word. Help us to be eager to go out and to share the good news with other people who need to know how to go to heaven when they die. Oh, Father, we just commend it all to You and thank You for what You have done. And Father, we look forward to seeing the fruit of the outreach yesterday. Father, we realize that some of it we might not see until we get to heaven. But Father, we would pray that You would just open some eyes, give us opportunities for us to be able to go back and to talk to people and let them know that there is someone here that really cares about them and about their destiny in life. Oh, Father, we just thank you this morning for such a glorious gospel that we have the privilege of sowing everywhere we go. Be with us now as we separate, and we give you thanks in this name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Thank you.